This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hello everyone, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon, and welcome to your weekly wellness roundup. Oh, it's a plethora of goodies for you today.
It is. You know what I want to start with?
What?
We've written a book.
Yes, we have.
And we haven't spoken about it in a while, and I just want to say, by the way, if you haven't bought the book is still out there, the book is still great, the book is still filled with lots of practices that cost you absolutely nothing, and all promise to improve your mental health and your well-being.
Last night in bed, my husband said to me, I've made a decision. I was like, oh my God, what? It's like midnight. I'm going to read your book.
I said, what?
Oh, why?
Yeah, why? Why?
What's happened? Because I think what's happened is that there is a lady who works in his office who listens to the show. And I think she's read the book, and I think she must be like telling him stuff in the book. And now he feels like FOMO because he's not read it.
My husband told me that he was going to read my, he went long haul for business. Yeah. And he said, I'm going to read your book on the plane.
Oh,
great. Mm-hmm. Then he said, because someone was telling him about our recent episode on motherhood.
Yeah.
And they were just sort of like saying wonderful things about it. And have you listened to it? And you must be so proud of her. And he was like, not a clue what they were talking about. And then he said, I'm going to listen to your motherhood episode on the plane. Like, he's doing me a whole favour.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I thought you were reading the book on the plane. Like, which
are you doing?
And we had to go at both of them, didn't we, when we all had dinner together one night. We were like, if you two had written a book and it was about parts of your personal life, I would be reading that book.
I would be highlighting parts of that book. I would be bringing it up at the dinner table. I would be investigating that. So then he wanted to talk about sleep. And he was like, you know Arianna Huffington? I said, yes, I'm aware. She's in our sleep chapter. Well, do you know why she became a sleep evangelist? I was like, yes, again, we researched the book and then wrote a whole thing about it. So I do know why. Well, tell me why. Like a test.
No.
Yeah. I said, well, she was working very hard. And then she
just got the book out.
Then she slipped. And then she smashed her cheekbone. And then she realized she wasn't sleeping enough. And he was like, I think it was her head. I was like, dude, it was her cheekbone. I wrote the book.
Yeah.
And then I told him about revenge bedtime procrastination. He's like, what's that? I said, you read the book, you'd know all about it. So we had a whole chat about the book in bed.
Like as if he's never met you before.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was like having a bedmate who was also a stranger.
I do have it where people do tell me about something that they've come across. And it might be something that we have practiced loads on the show. We've talked about it loads on the show and they've like just discovered it. And then they start explaining it to me as if I've never heard of it. And I'm like, mate, this is my world. This is my everyday. This is my job.
Yeah,
I get it.
Or sometimes people say, oh my God, I like heard about this thing that they got to try it for the podcast. Tried it.
Yeah.
What about this? Done it.
Yeah. Perhaps you should listen to the podcast.
Yeah. There's a whole hour's content on that for you.
Right. Come on. What's going on in the world of wellness this week? Lauren Mishcon, what research have you done in the name of self-care?
Okay. In wellness news, there's a new workplace trend.
Okay.
It's called chrono working.
Okay.
It aims to fit, it's not actually that fun. It aims to fit work schedules around the individual's circadian rhythms and optimum times of productivity rather than a 9-to-5 system. So basically, they're saying that in 2024, the workplace is going to look into how our body clocks and our natural dips and our rises in energy should define our working day rather than just saying you should be in the office at 9 a.m.
You know what I noticed when we were writing the book?
Yeah.
That both of us had different points in the day where we were feeling creative and feeling energetic.
Yes.
Different moods, different times of the month. I noticed that I was better once I'd been to the gym and then I could come home. And if I then got in the shower and everything else and then I get caught up in the house, like I just literally needed to come home from the gym and then sit and write.
Yeah.
And I was at my most creative. And then eventually I started taking my laptop to the gym.
Yeah.
So I could then get into the mindset quickly after I'd obviously I needed the movement.
Yeah.
So I think this is amazing. I wonder what companies are going to take the plunge on this. Does it say?
It doesn't say, but it's got to be companies where you can work remotely and you haven't got to be on Zoom with people, because there are, like, they're saying that baby boomers are most likely to stick to a traditional 9-to-5. That's like our parents' generation. And then Gen Z are more drawn to work between 6 p.m. and 3 a.m. But you can't be like, hey, everyone, let's get on a Zoom at 1 a.m. So it's going to have to be stuff you can do remotely.
No, but you might, then you might be able to do the, well, let's not do a Zoom at 9 a.m. Let's do a Zoom at 11 a.m. when you might be up because you're getting up later because you're working later.
Yeah.
But the problem is that everyone's circadian rhythms are different.
Of course.
So how are you ever going to? And also, listen, the working world works roughly between 9 to 5.
Yes. Ish.
And anything outside of that, I notice most people, most companies don't respond after 6 p.m. and nor should they.
Correct.
And on a Saturday and Sunday, they don't respond.
No.
And if I find that if you don't email someone by like 1 o'clock on a Friday, you're not really going to get a response before Monday.
What they've kind of said now is since COVID, basically the working week is 4 days because most people are not really counting Friday as a working day anymore, which is crazy. But they just don't. They don't plan meetings. They don't do big stuff. They might do like one thing.
Well, we don't either. We
do that intentionally. And also we don't have bots. Others.
That is true. So do other people, of course. Adam's, he has an event agency and everyone is in the office Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and everyone works from home Monday and Friday.
Yeah, but what I mean is all those people in many situations, how much actual work are they doing on that Friday, I think? Very little.
Well, again, I agree, because after 1 p.m., if you send an email, you ain't getting a response. And also, I always arrange like a coffee to have with my friend on a Friday, because we always, if a meeting comes up and we need to take it, we will take it. We will work. But I always try to get the backlog of work stuff done before
but
Friday.
The front of the week. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Well, you know that because we work together. Funnily enough,
that's actually not true, because you always write this show on a Sunday.
No, normally a Saturday afternoon, and then I tweak it on the Sunday.
So you do work at the weekends?
I do, yeah. But I quite like to have, so normally like a Saturday afternoon around about 2 o'clock, I really feel like the space and time to do it then.
Again, it's working on your own rhythm.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to sit, if the kids are sorted and I've got a quiet Saturday afternoon, I'm very happy to sit by my laptop and edit a show. Because it's peaceful and it's calm.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
It just feels like I've got space.
Exactly. And I'm not on a school run and I'm not having to deal with dinner and I'm just in more of a relaxed frame of mind. You know, it's a bit more of a creative time.
Yeah, so, love it. I'm here for this. I think this is an incredible step forward. I just don't understand. I always look at my husband as, you know, a boss with staff and running a company, how that realistically looks.
I'm not sure realistically it looks great, but we don't have to worry about that.
I mean, if I sent this to him and said, how do you feel about chrono working?
He'd be like, fuck that.
He'd be like, how am I ever going to get anything done?
Yeah. And I totally see that. Totally see that.
Yeah.
In other wellness news, you'll be excited. Or perhaps not excited. Zara has entered the hair space. So you know Zara do now do makeup and homeware.
Have you ever bought Zara's makeup? Because I haven't.
Yes, I have. I bought a Zara eyeshadow.
Have you?
Not great.
Okay.
I bought a Zara lip gloss oil thing that is like a dupe of the Dior. Absolutely shit. I mean, absolutely shit. Sorry, Zara. Love you to death.
Just not your makeup.
I almost single-handedly keep your company afloat, clothes-wise. Makeup, no. But...
Are you wearing Zara today?
Yeah, I'm sure these trousers are Zara.
My jeans are Zara.
But they're now doing hair stuff. Hairstylist Guido Palau has brought his range to Zara.
Never heard of him. Mm. But then I haven't been in the hair space for a while. I used to love like the Topshop makeup.
I don't know if I ever bought that. It was excellent.
It was an excellent range and obviously very reasonable.
Yeah.
I will say that Zara has very much upped their game in the fragrance sector.
Oh, don't we know about it?
I mean, well, do we?
We do. They have like 32 perfumes. They're all called their own Zara names, but secretly,
they're dupes.
Yeah.
And my dad wears one. And honestly,
your dad wears one.
It's unisex. But yeah. Every time he comes in.
Yeah.
It wafts in the whole house, and it's the dupe of the Baccarat Rouge.
Okay.
And I have got a dupe of the Baccarat Rouge, but not the Zara one. And his is much nicer, actually.
Interesting.
And I can always tell when he's been near the dog because the dog smells of his aftershave.
Oh, that's so funny, because he's kissing the dog.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that it's a really good quality fragrance, because you could... if you don't like the fragrance, then it's a nightmare. But yeah. It leaves a waft all over the place.
Zach wears the men's one. One is blue and one is green. I think they're Ralph Lauren dupes. And I got given one for my birthday that they don't make anymore, but that is amazing, called Elegantly Tokyo.
What's the dupe of?
I don't know, but it smells like crisp linen sheets and something. It is so nice. But you can't really get it anymore. But if you Google them, what are the Zara perfumes dupes of, you can see which ones they match up with.
I don't think I've ever smelt a perfume on you.
You always say that. I don't think you're near enough to me.
Do you think it's a pheromone thing?
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I would never, you know, sometimes you can smell something. Mm. You know, that smells like such and such.
Yeah.
Or that reminds me of this person.
Yeah.
You don't have a smell.
I take that as a good thing.
Yeah. I would. But I wear quite a lot of perfume. I'm quite into perfume.
Yeah.
So would you say you can smell me?
Sometimes I can. The kids always say, you smell of mummy.
Oh, that's what Daisy says. She's like, you smell homely.
You smell of mummy. It's a very, well, I guess if you like your mum, it's a very comforting smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like how your kids smell of like baby. Even when they're babies.
And how my dog smells of my dog. She smells of my house. So when she goes and stays at my parents, she smells of my parents' house.
Of course.
I like her smelling in my house.
I mean, my dog sometimes is a bit stinky, but also I sort of love his stink. I know. I love him so much.
Yeah.
I love his stink.
Yeah,
Isn't that awful?
Totally get it. I used to love Lily Rose's morning breath. I don't now because she's 13. And I don't get near enough to find out what that is. But when she was a baby and with the dummy and, I just literally used to stick my nose in her mouth practically.
Like milky breath.
I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah. Kids, babies smell great. They should bottle that shit.
Why don't they?
I don't know.
And call it baby's breath rather than putting it on a nail polish. I think Essie did a nail polish of baby's breath. Anyway.
Actually, can I just round this up by saying the Zara nail polishes are actually very good.
Okay.
That's it.
But you have shellac, so how would you know?
I used to. Not anymore.
Okay. What else? Come on. The smartphone-free childhood movement on WhatsApp.
Yes.
Daisy Greenwald started an accidental campaign after her Instagram post went viral. She posted about a friend who was talking about getting her 8-year-old a phone and how she didn't want to give her child something she knew would impact her mental health, but felt so much pressure to do it because everyone else was. I mean, yes to all of this. Emma Barnett, Bryony Gordon and Carrie Johnson ended up responding and an accidental campaign was launched. The movement encourages parents to collectively agree to delay giving their kids a smartphone. Haven't they done this at your school?
This movement, yeah. So it basically became a WhatsApp movement. So they encouraged people to start their own group, in their own communities and in their schools. And basically in 10 minutes, 50 groups sprung up. And now it's like 10,000 groups.
Why haven't I been put on one?
Because your kids are not primary age anymore. So it's too late.
Of course. Yeah.
But it has started because my youngest is in year 6 and this has begun.
He's on the cusp.
He is right there. So Daisy Greenwald said she didn't want her children to feel ostracized by not having a phone, but that social influence has a big part to play. If you can get a class WhatsApp group to agree together to not get the kids a phone because they don't need one, then the problem is eliminated overnight.
It has to be a collective thing.
Yeah. So Ofcom reported that 87% of 3 to 4 year olds went online in 2022, and 20% of them owned a smartphone. 3 to 4 year olds. That's nuts, right? There's scientific evidence that it's extremely damaging for developing brains. And the younger a child gets a mobile phone, the higher their rate of mental illness later on. We set up the group to support each other in holding off getting a smartphone because we know that by the age of 12, 97% of British kids have one. Parents right now are...
I'm not remotely surprised by that statistic.
Parents right now are in an impossible situation. Either we give our kids access to something that opens the door to porn, bullying, grooming, and the anxiety machine that is social media, or we risk alienating them from their peers.
Yes.
It was the cognitive dissonance of this situation that led us to start this. Our advice to parents, based on lots of studies and research, is to have a retro phone till 14, no social media till 16. I think this is achievable. If parents band together through WhatsApp groups and find solidarity, community and support, it's not hard. If your child's 5 best mates all have the same phone, then the problem is solved. They don't care and they'll be delighted to have Snake and text messages.
I have noticed that Lily Rose is now totally into playing Tetris on her phone. It's not called Tetris anymore.
I loved Tetris.
But it is effectively Tetris.
Yeah.
And loving that for her. It's just gone back to the absolute simplicity. So I think, unfortunately, my kids have missed this, and I hope this gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and so that more parents feel braver to make these better choices for our kids, because you've got to do it collectively. But this wasn't around when my kid, you know, Lily Rose is in year 8 now, so that was 2 years ago. And, you know, it's not a good thing for her. My eldest one is absolutely fine with the phone. She can regulate it, but Lily Rose is, wow, she is addicted.
It is a really tough one, because I think the collective thing would be absolutely amazing. But, you know, even if 10 kids get one, the other kids are going to look at their phone. And even if the whole class does it, you've got like holiday camps, cousins, outside school friends who have one. So you can't kind of live in a bubble where they're not gonna see things, because even in the 80s, when our parents banned us seeing 18 VHS tapes, you know, rated 18 VHS tapes, or banned us from boys that were inappropriate, or banned us from sweets, there's always a get around.
Did your mother ever ban you from a boy that was inappropriate and you stuck to it? Do me a favor.
Well, I mean,
exactly.
Kids have a get around for everything. There's always, you know, they always find the loophole. So I totally get this. And also, they are saying that, so when my older two had smartphones, they're saying they didn't really have an understanding of the impact that they had on children and teenagers back then, but now they do. And there is very overwhelming evidence that it's just really bad for them, and everyone needs to kind of act on it.
Yes, I agree with all of it.
So there's a whole discussion going on in my current class. And, you know, we will see how that pans out.
Well, I hope it's in favour of delaying it for as long as possible. I really do.
Let's take a break and come back for some wellness trends.
Interrupting this episode very quickly to let you know about our book. It's called Have You Tried This? And it's out now. It's a one-stop shop to self-care, and it features only the very best of what Nicole and I have learned in 4 years of being in the trenches of the wellness world.
And it has loads of new practices written just for the book. And the best thing, not one practice in the book will cost you a penny, but every practice in the book is going to help improve your mental health and your well-being. It's out now, and the link is in our show notes. This week, we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple, and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit, and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/selfcareclub.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/selfcareclub, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
Notion.com/selfcareclub.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's going up in the world, Nicole Goodman? Fill me in.
Trad wives.
Oh, trad wives.
What is this? The US version of SAHM.
Stay-at-home mothers.
But with a twist. They make child-rearing and homemaking look easy and embracing old-school gender roles. Many are Mormon or fundamentalist Christian. The most famous are Nara Smith with 2.3 million followers, 22 pregnant with baby three.
Yeah.
Is that?
She's 22. She's having her third baby.
She's 22.
Yeah.
She's pregnant with baby number three.
Yeah.
Right. Smith frequently preempts her critics by explaining that making breakfast cereal all the components of a grilled cheese sandwich, including the butter from scratch, is not expected of her, but that hasn't stopped Nara Smith lobotomy becoming a popular search term on TikTok.
I watched her make the grilled cheese sandwiches for her kids. Now, you thought I was extra by making bread the other week. I swear to you, she made the mozzarella for the grilled cheese sandwich. She made the butter that she buttered it with. She made the bread and she made the pesto.
By the way.
Yeah.
Back to you making the bread.
Yeah.
Right. It is extra. I've done my research.
Oh, you've done your research?
Yeah.
To who? Did you put out a poll?
Yeah.
Oh, who wants
a private poll?
Oh, private poll. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Lauren.
Yeah.
Lauren, you should, by the way, take this as a compliment because that is how it's meant.
Right.
You normalising making bread and thinking that it's an everyday occurrence, it isn't. People don't make their own bread. They buy a loaf of bread from Tesco's and they're very happy with it. The fact that you make the bread is A, amazing, B, not normal, C, don't diminish your efforts. Just saying.
Okay.
It's a great thing.
This is taking it to a whole, I mean, this woman is... And also, whilst she's like churning her own butter, she's also looking like a supermodel.
Well, that was a given. I didn't even have to ask that. But the biggest of them all is Hannah Nealman.
Yeah.
A Juilliard-trained ballerina turned farmer and wife of an airline heir. Well, okay, so she can. The 33-year-old broadcast vignettes of her life on a ranch in Utah to her 8.8 million followers on Instagram and 6.9 TikTok fans. Last month, Nealman attracted eye rolls after taking part in the beauty contest Mrs. World. Mrs. World,
yeah.
Okay. Just 2 weeks after giving birth to her eighth child.
She's 33 with eight children. She looks like the most wholesome, skinny, beautiful ranch wife living on this fabulous ranch in Utah with her beautifully dressed, it's like Little House on the Fucking Prairie, basically.
But she's also married to an airline heir.
Yes, yeah, so she can afford to. But this trad wife thing, it's...
What's trad stand for?
Like traditional.
Ah, of course.
Yeah. So it's like women who don't work, but look very decorative and are extra, extra, extra in the home.
But let me tell you something, right? That you say don't work. When you've got 8.8 million followers on Instagram and 6 point something on TikTok, I'm telling you, you're working.
Well, they're content creators, aren't they?
They're content creators. Yeah. And that is a job. And by the way, it's a really hard job and it's a very time consuming job. So they might be making their own butter, but what she's also doing is making content of making the butter.
Which and is raising eight children.
Which is a job in itself. So they're not working. They are making a fucking killing.
They're making a killing out.
Imagine what we would do with 6.8 million followers.
I was about to say, imagine what we would do with 8 children. I don't think I'd be churning butter. I'd be churning up some Xanax.
I'd be running away is what I would be doing. Is what I would be
You'd
doing.
Be running away in your enormous minivan that you would need to drive those 8 children around.
I do know someone that has 8 children.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
But then what happens is the kids start looking after the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the eldest one is going to look after the youngest one. Because yeah. The eldest one is probably like 15 and the youngest one is 0.
Ollie was telling me about someone the other night who had 17 children. 17 children. This is like now, not in the olden days. And unfortunately, she passed away a few years ago. And I thought it probably from exhaustion. If nothing else. 17.
No, it's not for me. I am like full with the two I have. Totally full, thanks. Rhubarb is also going up. I bet this is so up your street. I bet you love a bit of rhubarb.
I love rhubarb.
I really don't. I like a rhubarb and custard boiled sweet.
Oh, wait, see, I don't like that.
Because why? Because it doesn't smell.
I don't like anything fruity that isn't real fruit. We've had this conversation before.
I wouldn't even know what to do with rhubarb.
Oh, so many things. You could make tarts. You could make compote. You could make
a pie.
Do you want me to make you something with rhubarb?
I do. What meat? I don't mind a rhubarb. Like a rhubarb crumble sounds nice.
Delicious. I wouldn't make it just on its own with rhubarb though. I'd do rhubarb and apple because it would be a bit tart.
Actually, my mouth is watering. I bet you make a great crumble.
I make a delicious crumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's going up in pastries, in nail colour, and, funny, perfume.
I bet Zara do a rhubarb perfume.
I bet they're all over it.
I can imagine that.
I bet it's called Crumble.
It could be.
Wouldn't you buy a perfume that was called Crumble?
Well, I think it would be very vanilla-y. So for me, no, because it would be too sweet.
No, it's apple and rhubarb.
Oh, apple and rhubarb. Crisp.
And buttery.
Crisp but buttery. Mm. That sounds like a nice fragrance.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Belly bum piercing is also going up. I know this up close and personal. My 15-year-old has driven us up the wall about this belly button piercing. My husband has staved it off for about 2 years and she had one done a couple of weeks ago.
She was very proud to show it to me.
She loves it.
Yeah.
She loves it. It's so cute.
Well, you and I also both had one.
Yeah.
I don't anymore. I just like to add.
So that's what's going up. What's going down?
iPhone cases with rounded edges.
Oh, for God's
Okay? sake. You know like how women have their nails done in a squoval? Well, that shape for iPhone cases is out.
I haven't even seen one.
Well, like you and I have. Like an iPhone case, square, but with a rounded edge.
Well, it's just the same shape as an iPhone.
It's out. What is in now is the old school, sharp, right-angled phone cases. So it's an absolute rectangle, preferably in bright green. And Taylor Swift has made this a trend. So all the Swifties have these very sharp, right-angled phone cases.
I'm telling you now,
when
Taylor Swift comes to London,
I'm
not going to cope. Because I didn't get tickets. I couldn't get tickets. I never got put on the waiting list for the tickets. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to be good when she is here in concert. I don't even love Taylor Swift, but I have total FOMO about not seeing her live.
My niece is going.
I can't even.
She's beside herself.
Why is it a whole thing? Why is it more than any other artist that comes to London?
Listen, I have to say, sorry, any Swifties out there. I have nothing against her. She's fine, but I don't really get it.
I don't get it.
But my niece is 11 and she is a full-on Swiftie. I had to buy her Taylor Swift stickers as part of her Christmas stocking thing. And she has got one ticket and she is going.
What, on her own?
No, not on her own, with a friend and a friend's mum. She's got this ticket and she is beside herself.
I'll guarantee Lily Rose manages to get herself a ticket to Taylor Swift. She got herself a ticket to Harry Styles.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to go to see what the fuss is about, you know?
I bet it's a great show.
I'm sure it's a fabulous show.
Anyway, product of the week. Kiko Cosmetics Smart Fusion Lipstick, £6.49, and it comes in 42 colours.
And if you want to see those tested out, we've actually done a video of two shades, which is already up on Instagram, so you can look at them live on our actual lips. But I'm totes rating this product. I'm wearing it today. I'm really into it. It's cheap, it's cheerful, it's a lovely lipstick, goes on nice, stays on.
Doesn't stay on, yeah, I haven't got any lipstick on.
And maybe I had a coffee after I put it on. I love it. One book review for you. I want to read this. I might save it for the summer. RuPaul has written his autobiography. It's called The House...
I bet he's led a very interesting
life. Oh my God. It's called RuPaul, The House of Hidden Meanings. And I bet it is a cracker of an autobiography.
If you buy that, I'm going to borrow it.
Totes. I've also got another book that I'm currently reading called The Big Swiss that I am going to lend to you when I finish it because I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's fictional. It's great. I don't want to tell you too much about it. If anyone's read Big Swiss, you'll know what I mean. It's a great book.
Great. That is our weekly wellness roundup show. There was a lot in that. Thank you for doing all the research on behalf of our clubbers, on behalf of the wellness world, on behalf of self-care, Laura Mishkod.
It's my joy. It's my pleasure.
It's your obligation.
It's my honour.
Honour.
And it's also my job.
It really is your job. She's now gone onto her Ocado. Oh, you're just like editing your
shopping. No, I'm just
now
shutting down all the apps, Nicole. Shutting them down.
Okay. That saves power.
Yeah, exactly.
Another little tip for you there. If you want to be in touch, hello@selfcareclub.co.uk. The messages that have been coming in are still ongoing and they have been amazing and totally humbling. And we'd love to hear as much from you as we possibly can. So please keep them coming in. If you want to go and buy our book, our link is in our show notes below, or you can search on Amazon for Have You Tried This? If you want to see more of us, because Monday, Wednesday and Friday is not enough, then please head over to our social channels on Instagram @selfcareclubpod, at TikTok is the same name, I think so. And we're on YouTube as well. We're everywhere.
We can't miss us.
Omnipresent. We'll be back on Monday.